raging like cucaracha. Woo! Brother, it's Bash at the Beach, and we are here in Daytona to style! Woo! And profile. You don't like the prestige?
We're back here on the fourth official podcast, thanks to Ric Flair and Kanye West. So welcome in. We're excited to be here. We're recording a little later than usual. Brad Newton here.
The listeners don't know that.
Well, they do now. Brad Newton here, along with myself, Austin David. That's it. Just us two this week. Gavin's, he just couldn't be bothered, apparently. And Kyle's got, a new job or something. And Brent's still kind of MIA. He reached out to us. He said some things on Twitter and sent me a text message the other day. But that was it. Like, I tried to get back to him and be like, hey, so what up with you? And then, I don't know. We'll hear back from him eventually, hopefully. You know, we'll get there. But it's just us today.
Yep. Just two dudes hanging out in the studio.
Yeah. These two dudes you can hear on the Rollins women's and men's soccer broadcasts every Wednesday and Saturday for the most part.
Yep. Television's Hollywood Brad Newton and WPRK's Austin David.
And now occasional Orlando Cities.
Yeah. And now congratulations on that as well.
Appreciate that. Yeah. So. That was really the only good thing that came out of Orlando City. I got to call the game.
Debatable.
It was good for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, it was just kind of like a...
That's not... Do we really have to talk about it?
Yeah, I guess we kind of have to. It really wasn't good. 4-1 the final. I don't know. I think this is a really good way to...
Open the show. Yeah. Yep. That's pretty. That's a pretty accurate description there.
Yep. That's pretty much how the game went for Orlando City.
I mean, I don't understand. I guess I don't understand how you can be that bad against Columbus, and now you're kind of. You're kind of out of it.
I mean, see, here's the thing:
they're only 2 points behind. They're only 2 points behind New England. They have a game in hand, but I don't have the confidence in this team that I used to anymore.
Did you have confidence in the first place? Because I remember at one point we asked you like playoffs or not, and you're like no,
and I a few weeks ago I said no. I still don't think they make the playoffs, but. That's thinking with my head, and you know, sometimes you want your heart to be proven wrong.
Mm.
You know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
It's one of those, you know, expect low, have very low expectations and just have them smash out of the ballpark.
But that's not how Orlando City runs things. They have their defy expectations slogan.
Yeah, but then when you set your expectations so low, it's very easy to defy them.
That's very true. But they set expectations high, so it's very easy to...
Well, see, that's where they kind of shoot themselves in the foot.
Right.
Should kind of, you know...
Not do that. Hey, well, there's always next year.
Orlando City
can become the Chicago Cubs of MLS next year.
Oh, God.
Yeah. As a Cubs fan, I don't want to ever see that happen to another team.
I really I really would not want that to happen.
Nope. Hey, to be fair, I mean, there's promise for next year. You know, that Christ is going to have time to actually implement something of his own choosing into the lineup next year, whereas he kind of inherited a bad defense this year. And that bad defense really showed through last week. The funny thing was, the assistant coach, C.J. Brown, who is in charge of the defense, before the game, going into it, he talked about how important there were certain things within the defense that needed to be implemented in order to stop Columbus's attack, right? So he talked about, you know, communication on the back line, making sure that they're tracking the runners and making sure that they're understanding, like, where those guys are. Ethan Finley, Justin Miram, and Ola Kamara. Those are the big three that C.J. Brown named. Guess what happened?
They didn't communicate. Do any of those.
They didn't track the runners, and they got in behind for three easy goals.
Yeah, funny how that works. You know, you can shout a system until you're blue in the face, but, like, it's just going to lose its effectiveness after a certain amount of time, and players just aren't going to respond to it anymore.
Which happened with Adrian Heath.
Yeah, which happened with Adrian Heath. I don't know if it's...
But here's the thing. Like, Jason Christ, at the end of the season, he's going to be like, look, if you're not going to do this, I'm going to just send you on your way. We don't need you here.
And I think that's part of it, too, is that, you know, if he gets players that, you know, he can fit into his system and sort of, you know, get in, you know, get working, then sure. But until then, I mean, you're still, it's like that thing in college sports where you replace a head coach and you don't have time to get your guys in there and sort of set a tone, and you're already, you know, playing, you know, a little handicapped.
Yeah.
Because you have guys who you didn't scout. They're guys that were brought in from their old regime. And
right.
Now you have to sort of
make
it
work.
You have to scheme with your whole, you know, your whole philosophy and hope that those guys that were on a roster that were playing with the style of Adrian Heath and Jason Christ are pretty different.
But they're different in some instances and also similar in others. The one reason that they brought in Jason Christ, and this is what they said in the press conference, is that they want to continue the style of play that made Orlando City great in the first place back in USL. Like, they wanted to continue that kind of...
Stylistically, yes.
Yeah.
But the philosophy that goes behind it.
Right.
Is different.
That's the difference. Yeah.
And so when you get players who can play with that sort of that mentality, you know, everyone was saying once Christ came in, it's going, okay, we're going to go to a diamond. We're going to see how this works. And, like, he didn't really do that.
He's still playing the 4-2-3-1.
Yeah, he didn't really do that. I think it's more because he looks at his roster and he sees what he has, and he's trying to, I don't know if he's trying to shoehorn his you know, the way he wants players to possess and they want to pass in that same format. You know, but I really don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah,
and it hasn't.
It's just time will tell.
Yeah, and a lot of it is, you know, getting in players who are comfortable in that, you know, with that coaching philosophy. So
XRSL guys.
Yeah,
pretty much. Like, that's what's eventually going to happen.
I mean, next year it's could cause last year on his contract.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they extend him as much as it sucks. Kaká's probably best last chance is going to be next year.
I think they extend him for one more year, honestly.
You think he goes one more year?
Yeah. He's not ready to retire anytime
soon. He's been beaten up. I mean, as much as we even say on here, like, you can't fault a guy for being hurt. Like, the physical and mental toll that in an entire offseason where he's just going to think, like, do I really want to go through this again? I mean, he might.
He seems to be, like, there was the point in the beginning of the season where he was, like, hurt, and now it's getting to the point where he's having trouble, like, keeping up.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the middle of the season, like, the last, like, 5 or 6 games up to this point, he's been great.
And, I mean, but the thing is, like, if he's having keeping up but he's not really playing in a lot of matches, he probably wants to play, but I don't know if, you know, it's
a case
of... You just
put, like, a minutes cap on him, then.
I don't know if it's a case
of... The face still sells tickets. Especially with the new stadium.
He's the face that sells the place, but, you know, it's a matter of do you just kind of do you Wayne Rooney him? Do you just keep him around and, you know, let him take up a spot on your roster for some inexplicable reason?
And then you bring in Wayne Rooney.
Oh, God.
He's you know, he's on his way out from Man U. He needs a place to go.
Why'd you put that on me, Austin?
You know what that'd be like? They bring in Wayne Rooney and... You know who I'm going to say next?
Oh.
Give it a guess. He played for Arsenal recently.
Flamini.
Yeah. Oh. Matthew Flamini and Wayne Rooney in Orlando City.
Okay.
Or Atlanta United, or Minnesota.
Let's think about this for a minute.
Let's not. Let's just move on. I meant that as a joke.
Like Wayne Rooney, right?
Yeah.
A balding, older Englishman.
He's bald. Like he's.
No, that's what I'm saying. That I mean, he had a magical carpet appear sometime on his head not too long ago. I just want to know what her name is, Wayne. That's all I'm saying. But why does that sound like the most perfect fit for like a like every tourist that comes to Disney, like a balding, middle-aged English dad?
See, they can relate to him.
Yeah.
He'd be perfect in Orlando.
You just put him out in front of the theme park. That's his position, his greeter.
Just wave. Hey, come watch me play this Sunday.
Yeah. And he gets spit on by Chelsea fans.
Or Man City fans.
I've seen way more Chelsea jerseys at Disney than I have Man City jerseys.
That's true. There's a lot more Chelsea
fans. You see a lot of like kids running around in full Chelsea kits at Disney.
That's just, I mean.
Here's the thing. I give little kids that sort of, all right, you can go FKW.
Yeah. I mean, if you see a grown man,
I've seen a grown man walking around a Liverpool kid at Universal before, and I was just like,
they call it like the FKW,
yeah,
full kit wanker.
Yeah, I've seen that. Ugh. I've seen a man in a full Liverpool kit walking around at Universal. And I was just
that
like,
that is just disgusting,
man. Who hurt you?
He's just a big
fan. Was it Steven Gerrard?
You know, maybe he just wanted to go full kit because one of the players asked the player for the jersey a bunch of times, hit him up on Twitter, and then he finally got it. Never know.
I mean, that works here in Orlando too sometimes.
Yeah, apparently.
Hi, Tim.
Well, let's talk about playoffs, shall we? Is there really any hope at this point?
I mean, mathematically, sure. They're not eliminated.
Lose at DC, it's bad.
It's bad. If they lose at DC, for all intents and purposes at this point, then they're eliminated. However, again, they have a game in hand on New England. So Orlando City currently sits at 34 points. We're currently in eighth. They have a game in hand on New England. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, Columbus does have two games, but that's not going to be enough for them to. That would be enough for them to tie with New England. It won't be enough for them to overtake New England.
Mm-hmm.
Now Orlando City does have a game in hand on New England, who has 36 points, and that would propel them over New England mathematically. No, they're not eliminated, but you look at their recent form, and it's not all too promising. I mean. They're 2-3-0 their last five. They let Landon Donovan get a W on them.
Yeah. Landon scored. We were gonna talk about that in a little bit.
Well, he didn't score in that game.
It's true.
He didn't score in that game. He
still came out of retirement.
So there is that. He still came out of retirement. Played like, I think he ran around the pitch for like 7 minutes and called it a day.
Yeah.
And then,
I mean, the game was over by then.
Right. That's to the point. He kind of came in because the game was already in hand, not like the Sporting Kansas City one where they were actually losing.
He had a full week of training after that.
Right. But that's, again, Sporting. I mean, I don't.
How do you. We'll get into that.
We'll get into that one.
Here's the thing. If Orlando City does not make the playoffs, do fans riot?
No, because you have a coaching change. You've had Kaká hurt. I think there was coming into the season, in the preseason, everyone was saying, okay, year two, this is the year where they make a break. Then suddenly, Kaká's hurt. Adrian Heath's gone. Signings didn't really turn out the way that we kind of expected them to.
Jose Aja was good.
Right. I mean, MPG is pretty good.
Very good.
Nocerino's like still kind of...
He was missed on Saturday.
Yeah.
You couldn't have said that like 4 months
when
ago.
When he first showed up, you're kind of like, what the hell did we just do? Who is this guy? Get him the hell away from us. And now it's kind of like, we'll let you have lunch. We'll let you sit at the table and just don't talk. But I mean, I still think they're one defensive signing away from, you know, really sort of making a difference. Their defensive line has not had any cohesion. They haven't really had the same sort of lineup back there consistently.
Yeah, it's either been a new center back, new fullback with Ramos going out, Alston coming in.
I mean, that's gonna set you up for failure, no matter who you are. I mean, it doesn't matter if...
But still, as a professional team, you still have to, like, work through it.
Yeah, but you look at the teams that finish up in the top. They do have consistency with their lineups, and they do... Their roster, with a few exceptions, it's pretty much solid in the way it stands. I really... Any week, Orlando City comes out with either a new formation or a new back line. So, I mean... They sort of let other teams dictate how they're going to play, and you're already playing from behind when you do that.
Yeah, you're right. But just for the sake of the point here, if Orlando City fans did riot,
which I don't think they do. First of all, not a knock on Orlando City fans. I don't think they. Okay, yeah. I don't think they care enough, but then again, I also don't think that they would.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. Although, you do have a clip somewhere, I think.
You know, it just sort of dawned on me that, you know, at one point last year when there's some turnover with, you know, players being sent out, Tally Hall was released. Some coaches were unceremoniously let go in the off season, and then it sort of dawned on me that, you know, the fans kind of remind me of someone.
Behind you stands a symbol of oppression. Where 1,000 men have languished under the name of this man,
now,
Harvey Dent.
Instead of Harvey Dent, you're supposed to imagine it's Flavia.
Who has been held up to you as the shining example of justice. You have been supplied with a false idol to stop you. But I can no longer live with my lie. It is time to trust the people of Gotham with the truth.
Orlando City.
And it is time for me to resign.
They're reading a letter from Flavio, or at least a letter they've written for Flavio. Now, am I saying Orlando City fans ruin Orlando City? you know, you can kind of take that as you will. You know,
that was still fun.
I'm necessary evil.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I am.
All right. So yeah, we'll talk about Orlando City versus DC United in a little bit. But we'll move on. Talk a little bit of other Orlando sports. Pride. They play on the 24th this Saturday. I'll be on the call on YouTube. That'll be fun. Looking forward to it.
I will be on probably some inner tube.
On a boat.
And a pool.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Okay.
Surrounded by starlets.
Ooh. TV's Hollywood Brad Newton.
Yep.
In action. Hey, Orlando City B, they're really trying to blow it. I mean, they're really, really trying to blow it.
Remember an episode or two ago, I said there might only be one playoff team, and it might only be Orlando City B?
That's a big might.
Now it's looking like there might not even be that.
So Orlando City B, currently 8-13-8 in the final playoff spot. They're 1 point ahead of Wilmington. They have one more game against the Bethlehem Steel in Bethlehem.
Haven't both Wilmington and Bethlehem Steel beaten Orlando City B at various points of this year?
Yes. If Orlando City B wins, they're in. No questions about it. Doesn't matter. They're in. If they draw or lose, it leaves the door open for Wilmington to either... All they have to do is win. If Wilmington wins and Orlando City lose or draw, Wilmington overtakes Orlando City B. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the funny thing is, Wilmington's not coming back after this year. Right? This is their last year. Apparently, they're going under, or they're taking a year off or something for the first time since 1996, which is kind of crazy. But here's the thing. So, Wilmington's playing the Richmond Kickers. Richmond's pretty good. They've always been pretty good. They're always like top five of the league. So, Richmond currently sit in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, they're on 45 points. They're set. Orlando City B's on 32. That's the biggest gap between 7th and 8th is like, I mean, that's just huge.
Yeah.
It's a 13-point gap. That's crazy.
Yeah. I stand by every statement I've ever made about Orlando City B.
So here's the thing. If Richmond win, they could overtake Rochester for the sixth place and then play FC Cincinnati in the playoffs. But if they lose, they end up playing Louisville. So it's in their best interest to try and win to make a better matchup for them.
Yep.
But at the same time, Wilmington's going to be obviously trying for that win as well. Right? And the thing about the Wilmington game is that it's in Wilmington, whereas Orlando City B's game is in Bethlehem. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting weekend. This is on Saturday, by the way. Orlando City B's game, that's on Sunday. So Orlando City B will go into the game on Sunday knowing exactly what they need to do. Right? So if Wilmington ends up losing or drawing, I believe Orlando City B will make it through. If they draw, right, Orlando City B and Wilmington will be tied on points.
Right.
Then you go to goal differential. Orlando City B's got a minus 16 goal differential. And Wilmington's got a minus 12.
So
Wilmington would get in.
Yeah. Well, it depends on how the results of those matches would be, but
yeah. And Wilmington's actually got a head on them in the head to head. Wilmington's got one win and one draw.
Yep.
So Wilmington would be in. Well, it's going to be an interesting final weekend for USL. We'll get back to USL in just a bit, because there's some interesting stuff going on there. But let's talk about some MLS and World Soccer news that's going on, right? Landon Donovan, we mentioned this a little earlier, he scored against Sporting Kansas City to tie the game for the LA Galaxy. He came in, played meaningful minutes, and scored a goal.
Shocker.
And he was getting AARP chants the entire time. And then you know what he said after the AARP chance?
What?
He's like, you know, prices of diapers are really expensive. I really wish I could afford those.
I mean, you have a kid. I'd hope you'd be able to.
No, you know what
I mean. I know, yeah. I was making a joke, too.
Right. So, yeah. So, from a former Wonder Kid to a current Wonder Kid, Christian Pulisic.
Pulisic?
The hype train keeps going, man.
Not in FIFA, it doesn't.
Well, we'll get to that. He had a goal and two assists in his first, not his first, but one of his most recent games.
His most recent game.
Yeah. Last weekend. Was named Bundesliga Player of the Week. And considering how many good players are in the Bundesliga, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, Germany's a good league. And, I mean, not only that, but you're playing for one of the top two teams in that league, too. So, I mean, American players are slowly breaking through. I mean, the experiment playing in England didn't quite work out as well as people thought it would have. And we've kind of pivoted over to playing in Germany, which, I mean, you can almost make a case as a harder league, I would say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it makes Jurgen Klinsmann happy.
Yeah. And, you know, he, for everything that he's kind of put out and however long his tenure is still with the U.S. men's national team, I guess that's sort of the doctrine he's kind of put out is playing, you know, against European players and playing abroad, which I see the logic in because you want your players out there, you know, playing against stiff competition and you want them, you know, sort of pushing themselves. You know, I mean, Messi doesn't play in Argentina.
Yep.
So, I mean, he could easily.
They also, like, they could afford to pay him more in Spain than Argentina would.
I mean, you could go play for Boca Juniors and that would be.
It's true.
That's.
And you got a point. Okay. Next thing on the list, MLS 24 under 24. So top 24 teams, or teams, players, under the age of 24.
Mm-hmm.
So, few Orlando City players have made the top 50 list, but so far only two have made the actual 24 under 24.
Right.
So, Tommy Redding made the 23rd. And Christian Higuita made 21st. I'm looking up the actual list here to see if there's any other notable names we should probably mention. Let's see. Fatai Alashe, 19. Juan Agudelo, who feels like he's been playing for like 8 years, and he has. he started his career in 2010 and had a cup of tea over in Stoke, then came back to the MLS. Funny enough, he actually trained with Orlando City back in 2013.
Yep.
2014, shall I say. So, you know, he's got some connections to Orlando, so you never know. If they need another young striker, could be an option.
I mean, I'm looking over this list. You got Higuita, Kyle Larin.
Kyle Larin's not on the list yet.
Oh, I have the 50-player short list. I'm looking at.
Larin, Higuita, Redding, Ramos, and Rivas.
Correct.
So Redding, Ramos, Rivas, three R's. Larin will probably be number one, to be fair, on this list.
I mean, yeah, he did set a goals record and continues to play at a really high level.
You know what's really weird? I was looking at Larin's stats the other day.
Mm-hmm.
The really, really weird thing about his stats this year compared to last year is that they're so eerily similar. So, like,
right.
27 games played up to this point right now. Right?
Go on.
He has three goals less than he did up to 27 games last year. He has more minutes played, but he has the exact same amount of shots and shots on goal. 29 shots on goal.
You know what he has more of? Assists.
He does. He has three more assists.
Because you know how many he had last year?
Zero. So, to be fair, 14-3 compared to 17-0, he set up three goals.
Yeah, so I mean, 17 points. It's
still pretty much the same.
Yeah, I mean,
he was still involved in 17 goals for Orlando City in both this year and last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then the same exact. It's just weird how he's taken the same amount of shots and the same amount of shots on goal exactly through 27 games. Isn't that just kind of weird?
I mean, if anything, it shows some kind of
consistency.
Yeah.
I still have him down for that red card that he was that was rescinded, though, which is weird.
Right. Well, here's the thing. So last year, 2015, right? Orlando City ended the year with 44 points. Currently, Orlando City have 34 points.
Yep.
They have 5 matches remaining. I'm not saying that...
They have to win 3 of their matches and draw 1 in order to get to 44 again.
Right. Which, it's going to be tough. Because when you look at their schedule, DC United, Toronto FC, Montreal, Philadelphia, DC again.
Mm-hmm. But a lot of these teams have already clinched playoff spots, so it's right. Like they're not going to be as playing their better players.
I mean,
You would hope.
I mean, I wouldn't just automatically assume that's going to be the case. But you know, maybe Philadelphia and DC. DC maybe not, depending on how the table is once they go to DC to play against them. So when you look at how Kyle Larin, how his performance is kind of the same over the last 2 years, I really think missing Kaká at the beginning of the year.
Oh, it hurt.
It hurt. And that's where fans are going to see that. Because, I mean, you have a Kyle Larin who's played at the, we're saying it, the exact same level.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, you have the captain of your team not there. You have a little bit of turnover in the midfield.
You also lost Adrian Winter.
I mean, you did see a reemergence of Kevin Molina.
Oh yeah.
I don't think Orlando City really had that steady third option in Molina that they had last year. I mean, they didn't. Molina was hurt. But getting that other player who can, you know, finish and, you know, he can create goals because he's right up there in the top of the league with assists. But again, this all relates back to Kaká being missing.
And now they have MPG who could come in if Kaká is injured next year, right, and just fill that slot. Obviously, if Kaká,
he's not going to be Kaká, but
he'll be a serviceable replacement who is
right.
Has the ability to move the ball around, has the vision to see other players that some other, you know, guys in the midfield may not be able to see. And then he also draws attention to himself, which allows other players to create space and do things with the ball.
So, I mean, when we look at it, we're entering the last month of the season. Excuse me, for all intents and purposes. It's just whether or not, I mean, if you can match last year's output, looking at being injured, having a coaching change, having some upheaval across your roster. I mean, people said that, oh, Orlando City's kind of deep now, but when we look at it, they're just not. They're still not. I think if they're able to match last year's output, it's kind of a wash. I don't think anyone really looks at the year as a success. I mean, obviously you're not going to because you fired your head coach. But I think it sets you up in a good position for next year. And again, we don't want to be the Cubs.
Yeah.
You know, if we get 44 points every year, that's not great.
True. All right. Moving on. Let's talk about FC Dallas's clinched a playoff spot so far. Toronto FC was announced that they had clinched a playoff spot, but turned out to be not true because in some weird, like, parallel universe.
Some weird tiebreaker rule or something.
Yeah, basically, like, if the Red Bulls lost every single game up to this point and every other team won every single game up to this point and Toronto FC lost every single game, then they would end up in 7th.
Yeah, which is weird because they're at the top of the table right now.
But there's still, like, some... Peak MLS right there,
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, this... I don't know.
Peak MLS. You lose every single game up to this point and you end up in 7th after being top of the table. Because that makes sense.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Right.
In MLS, it makes sense at least. Okay. The big news that was coming out tonight. The National American Soccer League, the NASL. It's going under. It's going to cease to exist, apparently.
They're going down in an earlier round. And sugar, they're going down swinging.
They're not going down swinging. They're just dying. They're sitting down and, like, I don't know a good analogy for it. They're just dying.
dying. That's the analogy is dying.
Yeah, so the Ottawa Fury will depart for USL. And get this, Orlando City fans, the Tampa Bay Rowdies will be in the USL next year.
So that means we can have the I-4 Derby again because
yeah,
they'll be playing
with Orlando City B. You get to play our B team, Tampa. How does that feel?
What does it tell you when Atlanta is going to be like replaced as like the main is going to be replacing Tampa as the main rival of Orlando City, and yet we still play Tampa?
Tells you how bad NASL is right now.
Yeah.
And so obviously you have so Fort Lauderdale is also going bankrupt. Rayo OKC doesn't really have an owner at this point.
Has Fat Ronaldo sold his stake in
I think so, yeah, at this point.
Yeah.
Minnesota United is obviously leaving for MLS.
Yep.
So then it would only be the Cosmos, Jacksonville, Miami, and Indy.
That kind of sucks because, like, what's going to happen to Jacksonville now?
USL. They're all going to go USL.
Oh, they're all going USL?
That's what they're talking about.
All right. Well, maybe I don't feel so bad now. I honestly thought they were just going to be, like, a team without a home for a minute and then maybe fold or something. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Sometimes, I mean, once you get past MLS and U.S. men's soccer, it gets... There's some murky waters.
Yeah, to be fair, this would help USL's case for second division status.
Because it would be
the only team that would be in second division.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, when you get past NWSL and US women's soccer, that's not even murky water at that point. That's just like light can't even pierce it.
All right. I'm just reading more about this USL NASL thing from our good friend Paul Tenorio. USL went from 14 teams to 29 teams from 2014 to 2016. That's crazy.
Yeah, and it's going to explode next year.
It's going to be like 35 teams or something.
They're going to have to break that up again.
Three conferences?
Yeah.
It's going to be so, like you said, it's going to be so murky you can't shine a light through it.
Yeah. Well, I was talking about women's soccer there. But
no, like, I mean, I know, but the analogy rings true for this, too.
I mean,
you're going to have so many teams, it's going to be hard to follow up with them.
But here's the thing. I think it's sort of a blessing in disguise because then you sort of enter where you have like a sort of like England FA situation where you have like championship, first division,
ooh,
second division.
You could have USL 1 and USL 2.
Yeah, that's what I sort of think. I think you're going
to... They used to have that, you know. But, USL 1 and 2.
And I think that's where you're actually going to see promotion and relegation in the U.S.
Oh. Oh. Don't tease that now or else Ted Westerveld will come out
under a blanket. It's not going to happen in MLS. It's not. It's just not.
Pro Rel in U.S. in the U.S., I mean, you know.
I mean, it's this.
Tinfoil money. Ted gets a hard-on for that
thing.
I mean,
it's kind of money from the same pot, but still. But I think I sort of think that's where you're going to see it.
Two. Okay, so you're going to have 20 teams in USL 2 and 20 teams in USL 1.
Yeah.
How do you discern that, though, like coming into this year? How are you going to say, you're going down to USL 2?
I think your teams that were already in NWSL.
And NASL.
NASL. I don't know why I said NWSL. It would be kind of cool to see NWSL teams just dunk all over NASL teams, though.
That would be hilarious.
NASL, if you're playing in NASL, I think you start out at 2.
That's like a big just dick to the face.
I mean, but
it's like you're on top of the you're like kind of middle. It's like you're a middle management kind of guy, right? And then all of a sudden, your company breaks down. And you have to start as, like, the custodian and work your way back up.
I don't think you kind of look at it like that because I think you – I'm. How do you sort of wipe that slate clean, though? Do you just go by alphabetical order? I don't
– How teams finished last year.
I think you have one table – I think you have a table 1 year, right, where you include every team. And then year two is where you sort of break it up where the teams finish in that year two.
So the bottom 20 teams of each East and West. So like the bottom 10 teams from the East, right, and the bottom 10 teams from the West. Yeah,
that's sort of where I think you sort of make that divide.
And then you have the top five teams from, you have the top and bottom five from each league go up and down.
Right.
Instead of just like three with like the EPL, you have five. Yeah. Because that's just good for American soccer if you want to do pro rel. That's going to be, I want to bring that back to another discussion next week if we have all the other guys here. Because I want to hear from them as well.
Because when it comes to a situation like that, when you have just because MLS in itself can't support that many teams. So your second division is definitely not going to be able to support that many teams.
Mm-hmm.
So when you break it down, and I mean, you're going to be adding more clubs across the U.S. as, you know, both MLS and, you know, USL expansion rolls on. I think in the lower divisions, that's where you're going to see the promotion and relegation implemented. And I think people who really like care that much about promotion and relegation, they're going to find it there. Like the rest of us, people who care about North American soccer or United States soccer specifically, I don't think really care all too much about promotion and relegation. We're kind of past it at this point. But people who are like soccer purists and they want to see that, I think that's where they're going to have to go find it. Because I think that's just where it makes the most sense. Because you have teams like OCB and Orlando Galaxy 2 where...
Orlando Galaxy?
LA Galaxy 2. I'm sorry. It's kind of late. But I think that's where you're going to see that, where they're not really there to win championships. They're kind of there to develop players. So that's kind of like, well... Who gives a shit? We finished 5-25 on the year, but we got a few academy players out of it, so we're good. And that's where I think you're going to see that work the best.
Fair. All right, that'll be another conversation for another day because I want to again talk about it with the other guys. Should be interesting opinions to say.
Did I introduce a situation where promotion and relegation works in the United States?
You sure did. So I think you should write an article about it.
That's fucking weird. Oh, my skin feels weird.
Hey, it happened. Don't question it.
Oh, man.
Cameron Carter-Vickers made his Tottenham debut.
It is late tonight, isn't it?
That's kind of exciting, though. Another American making his pro team debut.
Plays for a shit club, though. Who cares?
Still American, though.
Yeah. Sorry you're stuck in the wrong part of North London.
Yeah. All right. Recent article out of World Soccer Talk said that Fox Soccer basically doesn't know anything about soccer.
I mean, they hired Lexi Lawless, right?
It's true. He seems to think
not
he
know
knows
anything
a lot
about soccer.
He thinks he knows,
I agree,
a lot.
Entirely.
He thinks he knows a lot. So let's see. Johnny Whitehead, or Jaunty Whitehead. His name is Jaunty, J-O-N-T-Y.
Not J-A-U-N-T-Y, like a jaunty sailor.
Or jaunty tune.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jaunty Whitehead said that Americans are not well-versed in the game, as I, being him, or a lot of people in the UK are. So basically he's saying Americans don't know shit about soccer.
Huh.
They're used to sport television in a certain way. They're used to American-style sports television. I know it's the way that Fox feels. That's the way we should cover soccer. It should be more discernible American way with American voices. That's a really important philosophy of ourself at Fox. Sure.
Right.
If you think a top Premier League team or a top Premier League game will get 1.5 million viewers or something like that, but last summer's Women's World Cup, over 30 million people watched it. So there's huge potential sports fans who are prepared to watch soccer. And surely, our job is to appease the vocal echo chamber of these established soccer fans who have had their forums and their websites running for a long time, but to also appeal to this huge section of potential audience that's out there.
Said a lot of words.
Yep. Okay, moving on. So, recently, there's some video that came out from the Orlando Slingshot over near the Orlando Eye.
Yep.
There was a team bonding experience for Orlando City. A bunch of the guys went onto the slingshot and, no, they got slung up in the air. And there were videos posted on their Facebook page of all of them going.
Did any of them, like, pass out and wake up mid-slingshot like that one kid?
No.
I know
Harrison Heath freaked out when he was on it, and he's like, get me off, get me off. He was, like, close to it. Like, he was, like, choking at one point.
I've been on that thing before. It's not that bad.
It's, for some people, it is.
I also got paid to jump out of airplanes all the time in my life, so I'm not a position of authority to I fall asleep on roller coasters sometimes.
Jeez.
I get bored.
I
rode on the Hulk for the first the reimagined Hulk, and I sat in the front row and I was like, I'm gonna go to sleep now.
So when they took the pictures, you were just like passed out?
Yeah, I'm just passed out. I got my head rolled back.
You're just like, sir, are you okay? Did you pass out?
Yeah, no, I'm fine. Just give me a pillow. I'm sleepy.
You should have brought a pillow onto the ride.
Pillow and a blanket.
Put it on there. That would make a fantastic picture.
Pillow, blanket, and a teddy bear. Yeah, but they don't let you carry anything on anymore.
Damn. It's a bummer. Anyways, the reason I mentioned the OC swing shot, the most popular video, arguably, is the Kaká and Breck Shea one.
Okay. Yeah, I can imagine why.
Yep. So Breck freaks out on it, and he was asked about it at training today when I was over there, and he said, I had a really bad experience recently with a airline.
Okay.
And now he's scared of heights.
All right. Well,
so I mean, he was forced, apparently Kaká forced him to go onto it and then laughed the entire way through.
Millionaire forced a millionaire onto a slingshot. Okay, got it.
Come on, it will be fun. And then, like, as they were about to go, hold on, I'll pull up the audio for it. It was kind of funny.
I'm sorry, audio listeners.
What do you mean?
Our audio listeners are not going to be able to get this. The visual of Breck Shea screaming.
There's no real, like, necessary visual. It's just really
fun. Breck Shea is a walking visual, though.
You just hear Kaká laughing at him.
Are you okay, Breck?
So mean. Meanwhile, Kaká's still laughing the entire way through. He's still laughing at Breck screaming. He's just like, ha, 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 ha. Good job.
No, I get it. Like, I've been in that position before, too, is where, you know, Kaká's been in, where it's just like I'm, you know, watching a friend sort of flail around and not enjoy the situation they're in a relatively harmless situation. And, you find it funny.
Oh, yeah.
My brother-in-law hates Dragon Challenge at Universal. And has threatened people's families while he's been on it before. And meanwhile, I'm just laughing the whole time because it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard or seen in my life. And I'm bored, kind of. I get bored on roller coasters. Like, I'm the worst person to go to theme parks with because I care more about, like, I don't know. Just, I've lived in Orlando too long where now I don't care. I care more about going to Disney Springs than I do like any of the actual parks themselves.
Damn.
It's just a mall too. Disney Springs
Disney Springs is amazing. Like,
yeah.
I hadn't been there since it was downtown Disney.
Yeah. Since they revamped everything. I think tomorrow I'm going to go to that, where they have all the Jordans at. I think I'm going to go in that store tomorrow.
Wait, there's a store with all the Jordans in it?
Yeah, they have a store that it's like a really nice, they have like a lot of like rare Jordans and stuff like that in there.
Damn, I gotta hit that up. I'm going on Friday.
I'm going tomorrow. I'm going tomorrow. They have a poutine place, and now it actually has squeaky cheese curds, and it makes my Canadian heart very happy.
Of course
it
would.
And they have a place with rare Jordans, and it makes my stupid spending habits self happy.
That's fair.
I just need a pair of nines and I'll be okay. I already have 13s. So I don't need anything else.
Break them out of the box.
My 13s? Yeah, I wear them. I don't care.
Fair.
I'm not that person that like has them like on a pedestal.
Fair. All right. Last two things on our little list, and then we'll get into something kind of fun. Lampard's out 3 to 4 weeks with injury. Kind of weird to think that, like, at the beginning of the season, we would have been like, oh, well, whatever.
Yeah.
But now he's actually important. So he's going to miss the rest of the season. You know, and so that'll help. He's got 12 goals and one assist.
Sucks to suck, NYCFC.
Yeah. But at least he won't be caught by Kyle Aaron won't be caught by him now. Because he'll be out the rest of the season.
True.
So that's something, you know, it's good. And then Tally Hall. Tally Hall's coming back to Orlando as a police officer. How great is that?
He's police now. I don't know if it's great.
He enjoyed Orlando so much that he wanted to come back and serve the community in some capacity.
Is he going to be working games?
That'll be kind of funny, you know? He's going to be working the wall.
He just roll up and he's working the wall.
No, he'll be on the field. He'll be guiding Jason Kreis in and out.
He'll be guiding Joe Bendik and not trying to shove him down.
God, they know each other though. That's the thing. Like Joe at training today was asked about Tally, and he's like, "Yeah, I know him. I know him pretty well, and through the players' union because Tally was part of the players' union."
I mean, goalkeepers too. It's a pretty tight community.
Exactly. So there's no reason for Tally to hurt him.
No, I was just saying. Like,
yeah, no, I get you. All right. Next, let's talk some FIFA because that comes out next Tuesday.
It does. I'm not the best at sports games. My younger cousins, they thoroughly kick my ass in Madden. And it wasn't too long ago when they were still making NCAA games that I would just run up the score on them. That shows you how long ago it was when I was able to run the score up on them because they don't make NCAA games anymore and haven't for some time.
Yeah. About 4 years now.
Yeah, but this wasn't even like the one with Robert Griffin III on it. I think this was the one with Mark Ingram on the cover.
2012.
So that tells you it was 2011.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah.
But yeah, that tells you how long ago that was. So I'm even worse at FIFA. The running joke amongst us is that I scored some ridiculous goal.
The most amazing goal that has ever been scored on me in FIFA.
Yeah, were we playing? I was playing the Canadian women's national team, and
I was Australia.
You're Australian women's national team, and I wasn't even trying to score. I just kind of like hit buttons.
Yeah, it was Christy Sinclair that you banged it with.
Yeah, no, and it was Jose Bellinger.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. It was. Yeah,
and
Bellinger blast from like 45 yards out and like past the keeper.
And everyone, it was Kyle Austin, myself, and Gavin. We all just kind of like stared at amazement at the screen that I was able to do that.
Yeah, that was fun.
And that's my that's
your
my
FIFA
one
moment.
That's my one shining moment in FIFA. And so
we should play the song.
Yeah,
the one shining moment.
So,
all right. Well, let's talk about the FIFA ratings because Orlando City's and you know, the U.S. ratings have come out. Kaká, obviously, best player on the team, 82 overall. Actually went up from last year, was an 81 overall. Downgraded in a few areas, but upgraded in another few. So that's always good. Matias Perez Garcia, second best, 75 overall. He's got the same dribbling statistics as Kaká, which kind of is interesting. But he's also faster and very similar stats, more or less. He's a worse shooter by far, but everything else is just about the same. Nocerino took a downgrade, took kind of an L on that one. He was the only Orlando City player who actually took a downgrade, went from a 75 to a 73. I mean, yeah, he wasn't that great at the beginning of the season. Kevin Molino got a 3-point upgrade. He was a 69. Now he's a 72. So that's always good to see. Larin got probably the biggest upgrade. He went from a 66 to a 72. So now he's pretty good. Christian Higuita also got a huge upgrade. He went from a 65 to a 71. Julio Baptista is next on the list. He's a 70. Breck got an upgrade. Let's just let that sink in. Brett got an upgrade from a 69 to a 70. That's kind of just interesting. Seb Hines, best center back on Orlando City at a 69 overall. Nice. Dave Mateos, 68 overall. Rafael Ramos, 67 overall. Luke Bowden, 66. Kevin Alston, also 66. All of them have gotten at least 1 point upgrades, except for Mateos, who was 68 last year, and Hines, I think, was a 68 last year.
Richie Lorea is also a 63.
No, he's a 55.
Am I looking at the right numbers here?
No.
Yeah. Oh, well. Take your word for it.
Sorry, I hear Father stretch my hands. It's coming from the studio.
Nice.
I just had to pause for a moment. Let's see. Carrasco got a 1 point upgrade. He went from a bronze to a silver, from 65 to a 66. Or 60. What was Carrasco last year? He got a decent upgrade. I'm going to have to look this up now. He was a 63 last year, so he actually got a really solid upgrade. 63 to a 66. Kind of surprising.
Not bad.
Redding's a 66 overall now. Wasn't in the game last year, but now he's a silver. Carlos Rivas stays the same, 65. Pedro Obero's also a 65. Aja's a 64. Tyler Turner's gone up to a 62. Ambrose comes in at a 61 for his first FIFA game. Haji Berry comes in at a 60. Tony Rocha, 59. Connor Donovan, 58. Harrison Heath, 57. Devron Garcia, 56. And Richie Larea rounds it out with a 55 overall. Now, who would you say is the fastest player on Orlando City?
Ooh.
Based by ratings.
Oh, you're talking the game?
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be something dumb, isn't it?
No. I mean, he's fast.
It's not Breck, is it?
No. God, no.
That's what I was meaning by something dumb.
It's fairly obvious. It's not like I'm trying to trick you or anything.
Kim Molina?
No.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
So, Carlos Rivas.
Okay.
Comes in at an 85.
That actually kind of makes sense.
But Haji Berry's faster. He's an 87. Fastest player on Orlando City.
Okay. I guess.
I mean, yeah.
Maybe. I mean, that puts him, like, world-class speed. Yep. But
They have high ratings for him, apparently.
Okay.
Because he's not American.
Right.
But yeah, 87. And they actually gave Richie Larea an 82 in speed, which I was interested to see.
That's interesting.
Yeah, because they rate him higher than Kevin Molino. They rate him higher than Tommy Redding, which isn't fair. I mean, it's fair. They rate him higher than Rafael Ramos. They rate him higher than Christian Higuita. They rate him higher than Matias Perez Garcia.
So okay, yeah, I get
I mean,
it. There's
on.
A lot of people.
Come
that,
on.
That, I don't.
I haven't seen that kind of speed from him. To be fair,
sure.
Playing with OCB, he doesn't have that speed. I don't know where FIFA is seeing that. I also got to mention the goalkeepers. Bendix is 68 overall. Earl Edwards 61, and Mason Stadahar, who has not played a professional minute in his career, he's a 56.
So
it's just really cool to see him on the game, to be fair.
I mean, here's the thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We want to talk about something extremely bad that's not great.
Christian Pulisic?
Yeah.
They kind of underrated him a bit?
A little bit. He's the second lowest rated player on the U.S. men's national team.
That's unbelievable.
With a 69. Only Cameron Carter-Vickers is rated lower with a 62.
That's weird. How, like, these guys are playing in the BPL and Bundesliga. But
I mean, Sascha Kleischen is even underrated at a 74.
Yeah, I'd rate him higher than
you. They rated Aaron Johansson and Bobby Wood at the same at 74 as well, which...
Yeah.
is if anyone's paid any attention to the U.S. men's national team lately, AJ is not a 74, and neither is Bobby Wood.
No.
There's numbers going in opposite directions, I would say, for both of those two.
To be fair, I think Sasha Kljestan got an upgrade, though.
Well, let's look at people that they rated 74, okay? Sasha Kljestan, Matt Bessler, Timmy Chandler, Bobby Wood, Aaron Johansson, Jesse Zardes. Yep, then that's it. They rated Kyle Beckerman at a 73 and Wando at a 73, which I think is a little high for Wando.
So, yeah, let's talk about this really quick. So, Kljestan, 74 now, was a 71 last year.
Yeah, okay.
Aaron Johansson, 74 last year. Right?
Right. But what has led you to believe he's still...
No, nothing. I'm just going off of what it was.
I mean, this
year is
all really arbitrary and doesn't really mean anything to begin with. Like, this is... I mean, arguing about FIFA ratings is about a step higher than arguing about...
Wondolowski got a 73. Just put that in there.
Right. It's like arguing about like a fantasy team. Like, who cares? No one cares.
Yep.
That's, I mean, ultimately, cool. Clint Dempsey and Fabian Johnson and John Brooks are all 79s.
Yep.
I don't know what any of this means. When I'm looking at it, I'm just like, okay.
Landon Donovan's an 86.
Yeah, but those legend ones are kind of weird, and they don't, I mean, they rated Alexi Lawless at an 86 too. Like, I mean.
Yeah.
Unless he's an 86 at getting his head dunked in a bucket of water. I don't really care.
Okay, so here, let's talk about this really quick. Top 5 goalkeepers, or top 10 goalkeepers for the U.S. in the game. Okay. Howard Raimondo, Hamid, Guzan Robles, Steve Clark, Yarbrough, Sean Johnson, Dave Bingham.
I mean, that sounds about right.
So... You keep going. Bendix halfway down that list. Not even top 20.
You know, it's weird. I don't know. I don't know if it's just because of Orlando City or what. But, I mean, Bendix makes some really good saves. And then there's some that are like, okay, I guess you didn't want to make that save. I don't know.
He's 18th in all of U.S. goalkeepers.
Out of how many?
Oh, like a shit ton.
Oh, I guess. I don't know. That sounds
I'm just going
right.
by rating.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. He was asked at training today, hey, you want to go on the U.S. men's national team?
I was like, yeah, sure. Why not? Like, who doesn't?
Exactly. This is kind of...
That's such a weird question. Like, who's gonna say no to that?
Not too many people. I can't think of it. Hey, Mix Discord is the same rating as Breck Shea.
Both over,
they're both.
Is it overrated? Is that what? Is it literally what it says next to their names?
No. Should. Doesn't. Hilarious, though. Let's see if there's any other like interesting names in terms of talent. Yeah, Pulisic, 69. He's the same rating as Keegan Rosenberry, who's a rookie for the Philadelphia Union. So that's something. I don't know. There's really no one else really interesting that I care to mention about that any has anything to do with this team or this show. So let's stop talking about FIFA.
Yes, please. Let's talk literally about anything else.
You got some weird news?
Actually, I do.
Awesome.
A Canadian Mint employee is accused of smuggling 180,000 of gold out in his rectum.
Thousand what?
Gold.
I mean, like pennies of gold or like
$100,000 worth of gold.
Like gold bars?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
An employee of the Royal Canadian Mint allegedly smuggled about $180,000 in gold from the fortress-like facility, possibly evading multiple levels of detection while in a time-honored prison trick, hiding the precious metal up his butt. The case of Leston Lawrence, 35, of Barhaven, concluded in Ottawa courtroom Tuesday. Justice Peter Duce... No way.
What?
The judge in this case, his name is Peter Doody. That could not
it's the
be
the most ironic judge
it's not,
name.
It's not ironic, it's perfect.
It really is.
Reserved decision until November 9th on a number of smuggling for cash charges, including theft, laundering, the process of a crime, possession of stolen property, and breach of trust. The UCK factor aside, the case was also an illuminating look at the security measures inside the Mint, the building on Sussex Drive that produces hundreds of millions of gold coins annually for the Federal Crown Corporation.
Okay. Gold coins.
Yeah, gold coins, not bars. Coins.
Yeah. About to say, he wasn't spitting gold bars, he was shitting gold bars.
Yeah. But still, dude smuggled a lot of gold coins in his butt. And
he must have a very rich asshole now.
I mean, not anymore, because he's in jail, so.
Sure. All right, my weird news is something that has been circulating our group very recently. An Australian man patents the ham dog, a hot dog and burger combo. So this guy, Mark Murray, he actually first appeared on Shark Tank pitching the idea to potential investors, and they turned him down. Then a year later, he started selling the ham dogs at fairs and markets in Western Australia, looking for people to take an interest in taking on the franchise. And, so now they're knocking one out every 15 seconds. Because it's legitimately a hot dog inside a hamburger. The bun is made specifically to shape the hot dog hamburger combination. And, it's all patented and everything.
I'm just going to say not all heroes wear capes.
Oh, here's a great thing. When he first pitched the idea to the judges on Shark Tank in 2015, he described eating the dish as a party in your mouth.
I mean, yeah. It's kind of perfect. The only question is, what do you top it with?
We use all local ingredients, not
Western
Australia.
No. Stop.
Oh, you mean like ketchup or mustard or mayonnaise or whatever you feel like? However
no,
you
that's
eat your
wrong,
burger.
Because you don't put ketchup on a hot dog.
What do you?
Mustard.
And relish?
I mean, listen, if you want to go for like a Chicago dog, yeah, you're entitled to that. But you just don't put fucking ketchup on a hot dog.
Why is that? I know a lot of people say that, but why?
Because that's something that like swine do.
Which is like the most of America?
Yeah. It's like George Carlin once said, right? Now picture like the most average person that you know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most of America is half as dumb as that motherfucker.
There. Oh, here. It lists what it's served with. The bun is filled with lettuce, tomato, pickles, cheese, mustard, tomato sauce, and mayonnaise.
I mean, first of all, mayo is gross on its own.
Yep.
There's something weird. Have you ever noticed, like, Japan has, like, a weird fascination with mayo?
I don't understand that at all.
They like put it on their pizza. It's fucking weird. I went on this, I did this weird thing the other day where like I looked up like, I was looking at like fast food restaurants in Japan and like what their menus were, because you always see like those things where it's like, oh, Japan got a black Burger King Whopper. And it's like, wait, what? The bun is like, they come in like all different colors and stuff. And sometimes they'll do that here in the US to like, I remember when Star Wars came out, and they're like, here, get the Darth Vader Whopper. And I was like, it's just food coloring in a bun. That's not that impressive. It's just, it looks weird, but.
Yeah. They had the black Whopper?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
I know, but like, they had it, it was a different name, and they served it a different way, and they had some different sauces on it as well.
The black
Whopper was the one in America, right?
Sure.
Because they had something different in Japan.
Oh, it was different than the one that was in Japan?
I just remember seeing it
and thinking to myself, like, oh, that's really not that.
No, because the bread tasted different. It wasn't just food coloring.
Oh, did it?
No. They served that for Halloween in America here.
Oh.
The scary Whopper or something stupid like that.
Yeah, that
sounds probably end up doing it again this year.
That sounds really stupid.
Well, you know what's really scary?
Diabetes.
I mean, yeah. But the Cheeto chicken fries?
Oh, no. See, those are great.
Have you tried them?
No, I haven't. But this is I don't eat Burger King. But
there's also not a Burger King around here anymore.
No,
it's closed down.
It's I don't think it's closed down. I think it's just being remodeled.
No, it's closed down.
Oh, it's closed
there's
down.
There's nothing inside of it right now.
Oh.
No, actually, they left their chairs and everything. They're just like gathering dust inside.
Oh,
like literally, someone could just walk into the Burger King here in Winter Park and just take the chairs.
Huh. I legitimately thought it was just being remodeled.
Same as did I, but then they haven't done anything to it. There's nothing been touched over there.
See, that just shows how much I care about Burger King, though.
But exactly.
I mean, anyways, but like, it's. I don't know. I had the mac and Cheetos. Those weren't bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they weren't great, but they weren't bad. It's trash food. It's like whenever like you kind of hate yourself a little bit and you just like feel like just shoving something in your mouth to eat. And you're just like, oh, I'll do this. It's like yep. when you go to like Taco Bell like 2 a.m. and you're like, oh, what can I get?
Yeah,
you're never making decisions.
I mean, yeah, 2 a.m. and you're hungry. That's usually how it's going to go.
You're usually drunk, too, but...
Yeah. Also true.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's our weird news. Kind of went off into a different tangent about other things, but that's how we usually do it here.
Yeah.
It's fair. Let's just do our predictions. We only got 6 predictions this week, but I do want to go back and talk about last week because, yeah, we haven't... It was actually 2 weeks ago. Whatever.
2 weeks.
Timbers versus Asprilla in the CONCACAF Champions League. Timbers lost 4-2 in that.
Yep, I think we all picked Timbers.
We sure did. Tottenham versus Monaco. Gavin picked Monaco. We both picked Tottenham, and Tottenham lost 1-0. 2-1. Sorry, 2-1.
Way to, I put a little bit of faith in Tottenham, and they just go.
They let you down.
They shit all over it. That's why they can fuck off forever.
Red Bulls, they played Alianza FC from El Salvador. They won 1-0. We got all that right. Chelsea versus Liverpool. We all picked Chelsea and Liverpool won.
Oh, we did all pick Chelsea.
Yeah, we did.
I thought I was riding that Klopp train, but I guess not.
Nope.
So I picked them against Leicester.
Yeah, you did. Then we picked Seattle versus Vancouver. We all picked Seattle. Seattle won 1-0. That was good. Then we all made the mistake of picking Orlando against Columbus, and Columbus obviously won 4-1. That was a mistake. TFC versus Red Bulls. They drew 3-3. No one got that.
I don't think anyone picked
We all picked Toronto. Yeah. And then CD Montagua versus Real España, which was Brian Rocha's team. Rocha's actually scored in that game. To draw it 1-1, which means none of us got it right. So that's disappointing.
So does that mean Gavin won last week?
Yeah.
God damn it.
He went 3-5. We went 2-6. That's a bummer.
Yeah. That's
It's disappointing. We'll come back next. This time. All right. 6 games to pick from. Not a lot. Man U versus Leicester.
I'm going to go Leicester. Man U is not good.
I'm going to go Leicester as well. Arsenal-Chelsea. It's a good game.
That you know what? That is weirdly a good game.
I'm going Chelsea.
I'm saying, I mean, we're both just going to, we're just going to go with our teams, but I think Diego Costa actually playing well this year is proof that the universe rewards bad behavior. So that makes me afraid for November.
Do you think we played this earlier. Do you think he just puts on that Bane mask and says, I'm the necessary evil?
Mm-hmm. That's how he psychs himself up for games.
I'm necessary evil.
He like punches that kid. He punches whatever mascot kid that he's about to walk out, tells him that if he cries or says anything, he's going to make it even worse.
Jesus.
And then goes out there.
All right,
does something douchebaggy.
Orlando and DC, who you got? The difficult one. I'm going DC.
I'm going draw.
That's fair.
I'm going to draw because I hate myself.
Well, your next step is to go get some Taco Bell after this.
Yeah.
Then you can hate yourself more.
Just make bad decisions all around.
Exactly. Toronto, Philly. It's a good one.
I'm going to say...
Toronto wins the clinch playoff spot. So they actually kind of have something to play for.
Yeah. But I'm going to go Philadelphia.
Interesting. I'm going to go Toronto.
I don't know why.
Aston Villa versus Newcastle. Folks, this is not in the English Premier League. This is in the Championship, funny enough. These two
I know those two names sound familiar, but that's not it's not who you think they are.
Nope. Recently relegated.
Yeah, they don't live at the same address.
And Aston Villa, they don't have Brad Guzan anymore.
Nope. I'm going to say
Newcastle has DeAndre Yedlin.
That's what I was going to say. I'm going to say Toon. Toon takes it.
Who?
Newcastle.
Yeah. Who's Toon?
It's Newcastle.
Yeah. Okay. I'll go Newcastle too. And the final game. And by final, I mean the actual final. The last game of the NWSL season for the Pride versus FC Kansas City. What you got?
I'm going to say Pride in the season on a win.
They all want to. I'll go Pride as well because it would kind of look bad if I didn't say it. Oh, well. 34 episodes and we're done. This was one of the first weeks that it's only been like two people here.
We've done a two-person episode, you and I, before.
Yes, we have. When was that?
It was months ago.
Yeah. We did have Gavin call
readers,
in, though.
Readers, go back through the archive. Yeah, but he didn't, like, stay the whole episode.
He was playing, like, Overwatch while we were...
Yeah, I think we dumped him out, like, while he was... Playing.
No, you know what? There was a point where he called in. He called in, then Brent called in, and then they both ended up going to the bathroom at the same time, which was really weird.
Like, this is really inside baseball of...
Exactly.
The fourth official here.
Yeah. Nice thing is we have an archive of all our shows, pretty much.
Yeah.
So you can actually go back and listen to them if you really
want
to.
Yeah, listeners, go back through the archive, tweet me at my work account, at Mainland Michael, and tell me what episode that was.
We're going to end it here. Oh my. Yeah, okay, we're gonna end it here. This actually went a lot longer than I thought it would, an hour and 17 minutes. Folks, this is coming off a double overtime game we just called. My voice box is starting to hurt. I'm done talking. We'll see you next week, folks.
Bye-bye.